guys or gals. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash.
Welcome, folks. And no, you're not hearing the voice of Jeffrey Bennett. He asked me if I would be the guest host today for him and fill in for him. But yes, you are listening to The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett Show. And I am Maggie Rose. I am on every Monday and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to be covering some rather newsworthy things today. I'm very, very grateful that Jeffrey Bennett has been so supportive of me continuing to do radio. There's been a few times I've, because of family issues and challenges and things like that, I've kind of taken a little bit of a back seat. But I've had so many people calling in and emailing me and saying, please, Maggie, don't go. So I'm going to continue to stay on. And again, in answer to those people that have been contacting me on the Concord Hour, no, I'm really not interested in doing YouTube or doing a podcast or trying to get paid for what I do. I believe that what I'm doing here is a community service, and I really don't need the money. I don't need to get paid for what I'm doing. This is basically God's calling, I would say. God keeps putting me in positions of where if I listen very carefully to what he has to say and I follow those inner promptings, then I go where I'm supposed to go. And I believe that doing radio, and especially here at RBN, is where I belong. So, again, I want to thank you all for your words of encouragement and everything. And please know that when Jeffrey Bennett and I do what we do, we're not trying to put on a show or trying to entertain. If it's something that resonates with you and you find things that we're sharing with you to be entertaining, there's a little bit of humor in everything we do from time to time as we go through broadcasting and radio, but we're not here to entertain. And for myself, my whole thing, my whole purpose for over 28 years of doing radio has been to educate people, to motivate them, to inspire them. And educating, inspiring, and motivating them is one of the key things of basically of my mission statement of what I'm doing. There's a lot of things that I may present to you that you may not agree with me. And I had somebody on yesterday in the show, a pack woman from Australia, from down under, who has been with me for quite some time now. She was listening to me on another network, she and a bunch of her friends in Australia. And when they found out that I'd been gone for a few months and then found out that I was here on RBN, they were thrilled. And now they're regular listeners here to RBN. And I want to put a big shout out to Pack Woman and to Omega Logos. But I also want to put a shout out to somebody who's a really good friend of hers that seems to be very, very intentionally listening. And we're just going to call her the Unicorn Woman, okay? I want to put a shout out. I haven't gotten permission to use your real name or your nom de plume or your AKA. So we're just going to call you the Unicorn Woman down there in Australia. So I want to put a shout out. And I know there's times that Pack Woman has said she's been out working in the garden or dealing with her trees. And you were starting to tune in to RBN and the Concord Hour. And then you'd call out to her and say, guess what? Maggie's on. So again, I want to thank you for that. For keeping all of us on our toes. I really appreciate it. So again, one of these days, I'm hoping when things have died down and it feels safer to travel outside the United States, I'm hoping to come to Australia and we can all have a big reunion. And I am looking forward so much to actually giving a hug to the Unicorn Woman and to Pack Woman and Omega Logos, if he'd be willing to join us there. I don't know how far distance he lives from you two, but I understand that you guys are building up quite a following for RBN, and we're very grateful here at the station for that. I want to let you all know that Jeffrey Bennett, one of the things that he's been teaching me over the years is the importance of prepping. And he has been educating us a lot during the weeks that he's been doing radio for years, actually. And especially one day a week, he talks about medical issues. And one of those things he's been talking about is cancer and how about radiation and chemotherapy and the harm that they can actually bring to us. And there are other natural methods out there that have been tried and true. Of course, the pharmaceutical companies do not want us to use those, and they've tried to find ways to close down scientists, researchers, and other people that have come up with what we would call actually outright cures. In some cases, the pharmaceuticals found that these researchers, doctors, and scientists, and holistic healers, or those that were using a combination of Western and Eastern medicine, were a threat to their pharmaceutical business. And so we found these people mysteriously disappearing or being what we call in this world today suicided. So again, I want y'all to be aware of the fact that the pharmaceuticals are not your friend. And I know I've said this before on the Concord Hour, and I'll say it here also on the Edge of Darkness, that when you saw these ads way back when I was growing up with the Marlboro man, you know, standing there looking tall, handsome, you know, in his boots and his hat and smoking a cigarette and trying to make it look like smoking was so cool. And enough pressure was put on people to take down those TV ads and stop promoting cigarette smoking to our young people, who, you as you all know, are very young and impressionable. So a kid could even be sitting there on a Sunday night watching a Disney movie with their family, and Disney is not what it used to be any longer. We know that now. They've gone by the way of the dinosaur. The original intent of Walt Disney is gone. They've long ago left the reservation. Many of you would agree with me. But I remember watching Walt Disney movies with my family and other movies, and all of a sudden the Marlboro Man cigarette commercial would come up. And I, for one, was so grateful that parents were able to push back enough and find ways to have that removed so you didn't see those ads. We're going to be talking a little bit about pushback tonight. Very important, because I had a very, very important phone call. I made a phone call to my friend this morning, and he's been so busy the last few weeks to the month or so. We haven't been able to talk much, and he hasn't been doing a lot of texting. But he picked up the phone on just the first couple rings, and we had a nice long talk for the better part of at least 20, 25 minutes or so. And so I was very grateful to have that conversation with him. And so when we want to talk about pushback, let's talk about the pharmaceuticals who are purchasing all of these ads in the millions of dollars per minute to be putting up their pharmaceutical advertisements on NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and yes, even Fox News. The pharmaceuticals are purchasing our news. They have influence and control through the deep state and the New World Order on the information that is given to us. And don't you not think that they don't have influence on the information that should be given to us that is not given to us, information that's being withheld from us. So we as a people need to start pushing back on these ads that are pushing medications on our TV when we're sitting there trying to watch a movie with our family. Some of these ads are making it look like and having people believe that they've got all these ailments that are wrong with them that really are not. And only in the very, very small lettering does it say, you know, seek out the advice of your doctor. But they're pushing so many medications and trying to advertise everything from psychiatric medications to medications for diabetes and everything. And believe me, your doctors out there know what it is that you've got if you've been tested and diagnosed. your doctors know the different methods and medications or treatments that will be good for you as an individual. Because, you know, look at it this way, folks. One size doesn't fit all. I used to really have issues when I was first in the medical field and I was in the military. And I was working as a 19-year-old, green behind the ears, corpsman overseas in Southeast Asia. And they were bringing some of our soldiers back from Vietnam through the country I was in, South Korea. And South Korea was the first stop before they were going to come home. And some of them had gone through horrible, horrific things in the jungle. I understand that. Many of them had very serious psychiatric damage that was done to them because of what they saw, what they experienced, and yes, what they were asked to do. I've had some people over the years say, oh, Maggie, you can't possibly have had all the experiences you've had, done the things you've done, been where you say you've been, met the people you said you met. You know, even my lineage, my ancestry, yes, it is all true. And if I had the time right now to sit down and tell my story, you know, who is this nom de plume Maggie Rose? Who is this woman that uses the AKA of Maggie Rose? This is a person who God has been putting in different paths and on different journeys so I could experience what I would consider more of a, what would you call, like the Jelly Belly factory? You get all those different flavors. I've experienced so many different experiences and flavors in my short few years, and somehow managed to put in there a raising my five children, getting five college diplomas or degrees. And it was all because the Army taught me the importance of being organized and taught me the importance of logistics. But more important than that, I think what the Army taught me was how to never give up, even in the face of adversity. I believed I had God looking over me, whatever you believe God to be. And I believe that there's angels in the wings that are making sure that we stay our course. And I believe that if we stay going forward and we know that we have the right intent in our heart, then we are going to be protected and able to be able to learn those lessons that we need to learn in this lifetime. Now, all of you may not agree with everything I say, and some of the people out there who call themselves Christian, and I was raised in a very Protestant, I was raised in Presbyterian. My godmother was Lutheran, so I spent a lot of time in Lutheran churches. My grandmother was Catholic, so my mother, who was not Catholic, put me in Catholic schools for 3 years, and all those experiences taught me so much, gave me what I consider a well-rounded education. And there was a lot more besides that. There was more than the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, and the Catholic. I had good friends that were Mormon LDS, and I would visit church with them. And we would go to Bible school in the summer at the Southern Baptist Church. And that was a wonderful experience. I absolutely loved Vacation Bible School and all that went with it. We had years going to the Free Evangelical with our neighbors across the street, and there were some very positive learning experiences I took out of that. I ended up finding out that way back in my ancestry, there was some Jewish heritage, and so I studied a little bit about Judaism. I had a really good friend in the military the first 3 months I was in Fort Lewis, Washington, who was a command sergeant major in the U.S. Army, and he was what we call a soldier soldier. Okay, he was what I consider the epitome of the enlisted ranks. And he happened to have been from the Fuji Islands. And he happened to have been Muslim. And we had some rather interesting conversations in the hotel lobby there at Fort Lewis, Washington, where we were housed when we were in the Wounded Warrior Transition Program. And even though I may not agree with everything that he agreed or believed in, I think there were even some things that were in his Islamic teaching that he didn't totally agree or follow either. So that's why I kind of got to a point where I had zero tolerance for intolerance, because I realized that not all people in a Jewish synagogue totally agree on everything that they're being told. And if they can go to their rabbi and ask questions and get satisfactory answers, then that's great. And the same with a lot of people are now questioning who are very devout Catholics. And I have some very good friends that are very devout Catholics who are actually open-minded enough to say, wait a minute, I need to sit back and I need to look at what's happened with the last two popes we've had. And where are we going as a Catholic Church right now? Okay. What is it? Why is the Catholic Church bending and folding in ways that so many people over the years were punished or excommunicated because they did not believe these ways? And now all of a sudden the Catholic Church is saying, oh, we believe in this now. We're going to go along with this now. Is it because they're worried about losing their membership? Well, follow the money, folks. It's all about money. So even back in 1974, 75, when I was in Southeast Asia and Korea, and I was seeing these doctors that were overloading my patients, my clients on medication, and the Thorazine they were giving them absolutely turned them into like zombies. And I remember we used to say, oh, you know, he's doing the Thorazine shuffle. And so I had some really strong feelings that came from that. And I was discussing with somebody the other day who happens to be a VA provider that I know very well. And this provider has dealings with people in the psychiatric field, has dealings with people. Of course, many of the people that are at the VA now are over 65. So dealing with geriatrics and saying, you know what? They want to use medication to control their patients and clients. They want to use chemicals, and it's kind of what I call, and in those days, we didn't have a name for it back in 74, 75, but we do now. It's called chemical restraints, all right? Because we're not allowed, when a person is acting out, to use two-point, three-point, or four-point restraints, tying them down to a bed or chair. Now, what many of the nurses are doing is using what we call chemical restraints, and they are overdoing it. They are abusing it. They are forcing or trying to force their doctors, their medical doctors, or trying to force their nurse practitioners to use medications to restrain the patients. And many of them are patients or clients that are not even acting out terribly at all. They have some dementia. Maybe they're a little bit boisterous. Maybe they're a little bit acting out, but they're not violent. They're not physically harming people. And yet I saw when I was first in the military, them using medications at the 121 evacuation hospital in Yongsan, in Seoul, Korea, they were using medications as a form of medical restraint. And therefore, if you tried to counsel some of these people that were brought through there from Vietnam to try to work with them and do therapy with them, they were not even aware. They were so out of it mentally and emotionally, there's no way you could carry on a conversation with them. So there's no way you could work with them to give them the tools they needed to try to heal and come back from the nightmares that they were still living in their head. And the same goes today. The Veterans Administration and other hospitals, civilian hospitals around the country, are using what we call chemical restraints, because in some ways these nurses look upon these chemicals, these psychotropic drugs, as sort of like a babysitting service. It keeps them so docile and so calm that the nurses can go ahead, some of them, licensed nurses and registered nurses, and go sit back in the nurse's station and drink their coffee and play on the computer and not really have to interact with the clients or with the patients. And that is something I shared with this VA provider. I said, I have really strong feelings about people using chemicals or drugs in order to get the patients or the clients so relaxed and calmed down where they can't even think, their speech is slurred, they can't put out an intelligent conversation or a sentence. And again, because these nurses are using chemical restraints, and this is wrong, and people need to push back. Family members need to say no. You know, how many of you know family members that have felt that mom or dad or grandma and grandpa are too difficult to handle, and they find, oh, if we can find a way to pay for it, it's just easy. Stick them away in a convalescent hospital somewhere or in a care facility somewhere. I have real issues with that. My experiences when I was first in the nursing field was to be working in a facility and see that all during the year, these family members, some of them lived only a few blocks away to maybe a mile or two away, would never come in and would almost never call. And then all of a sudden over the holidays, especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, especially Christmas, all of a sudden they would show up, many times not even with Christmas gifts for their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, and show up acting, oh, look at us, you know, we're showing up to, you know, to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And then you didn't see them again for the rest of the year. Shame on you for any of you that ever done that or know anybody who's done that. And you said nothing. Or I've had people come to me and say, you know, I don't know why I come back and see my dad. He doesn't even recognize me. He doesn't even know who I am. Well, you know what, Joey, or, you know, Sam, or Debbie, or Elizabeth, that's your ego talking. You want your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or aunt and uncle to recognize you? That is your ego talking. But you know what, did you ever stop to think that for some of them, they may not recognize you off the bat, and they may not recognize you your entire visit of 30 minutes to an hour or so. But every once in a while, the curtain will come up and all of a sudden they will recognize you. And there'll be a few minutes, a few moments of recognition and being able to have some small talk. And especially those of you that have family members that have Alzheimer's and they're in the advanced stages of Alzheimer's and they don't even know their own name. But I had somebody one time, a patient that I was going to take care of, and I was taking her husband in to see her. And there was a lady that came at least every other day to see her mom. And she said, you know, my mom doesn't even know who I am. And while we were there, standing there, all of a sudden her mom looked up and called her daughter by name and made some comment about something they both had a memory of. And the daughter was able to talk to her mother for about 3 minutes. And then the curtain went down and the mother was like in kind of a trance-like state. And the daughter turned to me and said, you know what? She said, it's moments like this that I live for. So even if your loved one doesn't recognize you, doesn't know who you are, or a friend that you go visit in a hospital, you're there to provide some kind of attention. You're there to spend a few moments, even if it's just to touch their hand or play a game of cards or read to them. They don't have to know that you're their daughter or granddaughter or friend or nephew or niece. Just your presence is breaking up the monotony of the day. For those people that live in care facilities that are sealed facilities because you don't want them to be wandering away because of their dementia or their Alzheimer's or their confusion, can you imagine what it's like that all you see is the same four walls day in and day out? And you don't get much attention from the nurses? Because the nurses really, many of them are getting to a point now where they really don't want much interaction with their patients. And if that's the case, they don't even belong working in a psychiatric field. They don't belong working in a dementia unit. They don't belong in working in a long-term care facility. If they have reached that point, and they're still there, they need to leave. Perhaps they have job burnout. Perhaps they become desensitized. In any case, they don't belong there. Move over and give way to a care person, whether it's a CNA or a nursing assistant or a licensed nurse or registered nurse who really wants to be there, who wants to interact with their clients and their patients. Yes, I believe that we need to even push back in the medical field. We need to get rid of all these pharmaceutical ads on TV. And we need to have ads on TV that are uplifting, inspiring, and maybe growth inspiring. That's what we need. When it comes to what's going on in our school districts, parents need to not be afraid of the FBI. They need to not be afraid of what is going on, and they need to continue to be the whistleblowers that we know they can be. It is only by pushing back that we're going to be able to make a change in this world. When I come back in a little while, we're going to be talking more about the phone call with my friend, but I will start talking a little bit about this right now before we go to station break. We got a few minutes here. So I made a phone call to my friend. You've all heard of him before. His name was Juan O7. And Juan and I become friends ever since one year after Robert Lavoie Finnegan was assassinated on the orders of the then Oregon Kate Brown, the governor. With the help of her friend Obama, his mercenaries that he sent out to Eastern Oregon, and the FBI and the state troopers from Oregon. And he said, what's going on in this country right now is something that the people in Oregon especially need to sit up and take note about, because now we have become the worst state in the union. Yes, folks, you heard that right. We are the worst state in the union. Now Utah is finally taking back their state. People are finally waking up and pushing back. The state of Washington and the state of California actually went red. But Oregon was the only one to really be completely, totally blue with Biden. And that is because the city of Portland and Salem, both those cities, are so well populated and have become so entrenched with the far, far left Democrats who also want to call themselves progressive. That's an oxymoron in itself. But the far left Democrats, progressives, who many of them are really what I call wolves in sheep's clothing. They're really the communists and Marxists that have entrenched themselves deep into our society. And as he said, we are not in World War III, folks. World War III is when the Soviet Union went away. We are right now, he believes, and many people believe, that we are the beginning of World War IV. Yes, that's right. World War IV. Now, this is the opinion of himself and many other people. And again, I'm sharing things with you that you or I or others may not agree with, but that is the beauty of living in a country that even though we're being attacked for our freedom of speech, we still are America. And we still can demand and insist that we have the right for freedom of speech and not be punished for it, not be slammed for it, not have them bullying us around or threatening to take away our rights or turning our God-given rights into privileges, because privileges can be given or taken at the will of the government. We all now are awakening the fact that the bigger the government is not the best, because the bigger the government, the more it becomes tyrannical. The bigger the government, more you have so-called leadership that will not leave their so-called leadership positions. And no matter what it takes, by hook or crook, they're going to find ways to manipulate the elections to the will of them, the minority, instead of we, the people. We, the people, should be choosing who leads us, not they, the minority, who only have their own power-hungry, controlling self-interest. We need to, as he said, stitch the outline of all the smaller counties in each of our states. We will be right back, folks. This is Maggie Rose. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Bennett here on The Edge of Darkness. And we will be back on the other side in 30 minutes.
Spend it fast as I can for a wailing song and a good guitar. The only thing that I understand, oh boy. The only things that I understand.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain. Trailer parks with the building cold. Cul-de-sacs in the country road. High-tech bars with bad karaoke sounds. Uncle Sam keeps your money spent.
Welcome back, folks, to the second half of the edition of The Edge of Darkness. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, filling in for Jeffrey Bennett here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please, folks, check out the site at www.republicbroadcasting.org. And go in there and see who our sponsors are and see about patronizing them. Every little bit helps to pay for our expenses and for the wonderful staff we have and the board engineers like Mike and Julie in the background who are there making sure that we come on the air and help out with any of the technological issues that sometimes come up from time to time, especially right during the winter months. We're having here in the great Northwest right now a little bit of a downpour of rain. It's very foggy and overcast, but we're looking forward to the rain because it really does clear the air in it. It does make things a lot healthier out there for us. And please keep your fingers crossed that we won't have to be dealing with too many fires at this time of the year. So anyway, I was talking a little bit about what 107 said, but I decided before I go into that, I'll use that for the last few minutes of the show. Here, somebody in Australia, this is a friend of Pac Woman down under, and I don't know if this came from the Unicorn Woman or not, but she sent me an article here on Skype on Pfizer, and it's entitled "Pfizer Can't Hide This Anymore and Could Be Sued Out of Existence." So whoever sent this to you, Pac Woman, please thank her for me. Now, again, the article's entitled "Pfizer Can't Hide This Anymore and Could Be Sued Out of Existence." This was redacted with Clayton Morris. And it says here, October 23rd, 2023, will Pfizer get sued out of existence because of the SV40? That's the S like in Sam, V like Victor 40 contamination in the vaccine. Well, a judge in Michigan recently pierced the armor of the PREP Act, that's P-R-E-P, which gave immunity to Big Pharma from liability claims related to COVID products. So now that we know that the SV40 DNA sequence was in the vaccine and possibly not disclosed, will this mean legal problems for drug makers? And how serious is the SV40 business anyway? So I'm looking at this part here. It's on YouTube. And so you could probably look it up on YouTube. It's entitled "Pfizer Can't Hide This Anymore and Could Be Sued Out of Existence," redacted by Clayton Morris. And in the conversation, he's saying now that Big Pharma can be sued for the COVID products, that means Pfizer, okay. Let's see what we have here. I think it's going to go forward. They may have to answer this SV40 that was recently discovered in their COVID vaccine. Now we're going to circle back around to this big relationship, this revelation that Pfizer had this DNA sequence in their vaccine. Who knew about it? It's dangerous. Why are we just now learning about it? Why this just now came out? The Health Canada has now admitted to it, but no American health agencies have admitted to it yet. This is a biggie, you guys. It's what lawyers call piercing the corporate armor. So you know these corporations have litigation protection. They have liability protection. Well, now in Michigan, it's been pierced by this one case. And if that's the case, it might just trickle through so that other big pharma companies are held liable. So now let's talk about it. Last week, we had talked about whether or not Big Pharma could be held liable if there was any way to pierce the PREP Act. The PREP Act is the immunity act that the pharma got from the government for all claims related to co-products due to the emergency nature of the pandemic. Well, we talked about whether or not the PREP Act could be pierced if there was some evidence of fraud or something of that type. Because maybe, folks, that's how the armor gets pierced. Well, let's look at this case. This is Dan Nokel in Michigan, a resident. He had two strokes. He had his leg amputated after receiving the REM. So, folks, again, we need to push back. We need to ask the hard questions. We need them not to get away with trying to brush things under the carpet. So for those of you that have lost family members to the Moderna or to the Pfizer or any other inoculations, there might be a way to pierce the army of these big pharmaceutical companies. I myself, as many of you have heard before on the Concord Hour, lost my father-in-law, who we believe he was in very good health for the most part. And then all of a sudden he had the first Moderna and he went into a cognitive decline, loss of appetite, started getting dizzy. His dizziness caused him to fall. He injured himself badly and my husband went down to try to attend to him and help the nurses. And he had a heart attack in front of my husband. He was saved, taken to the hospital, was discharged. And then he was sent to the home of a relative who had actually driven him to get the Moderna shot. Now, this relative would not take the shot themselves, okay? Neither would their spouse or any of their adult children or son and daughter-in-laws or any of their grandchildren. In fact, they were actually putting on rallies in Nevada County, in Nevada City, in Grass Valley, California, against these inoculations because they had doctors and nurses and other people who, in the very early stages of the push out of this inoculation, had taken these jabs and died. And so this very relative, who themselves was so adamant about not doing it, actually drove my father-in-law down to have the jab. And the second heart attack was in their home, and his body was found. 8 days later, my mother, who had not listened to me, or my husband, both of us nurse trained, took the Moderna also and ended up having all kinds of dizziness problems, loss of appetite, and ended up having blood clots throughout her body. Now, of course, Kaiser Hospital in Walnut Creek, California, tried to call it COVID and put that on the death certificate, because then if they do that, then they get an additional $25,000 to $45,000 for each person that's a COVID case. Now, you think it's a joke or that this is not true, but it's true. All across the country and around the world, people who are having car accidents and they were dying from the car accidents or being hit by vehicles were being brought into the hospital, and they were being called COVID. Because every time you say the word COVID, all you have to do is clink, 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 and the money starts adding up. It became one of the biggest financial scams around the world. And it wasn't just American hospitals and doctors and nurses that were doing this. It was happening everywhere. So again, folks, now they're going to be trying before this next election. They're going to push another variant onto us. And then they're going to try to start saying they have to force us to wear masks. And then we're going to have to start lining up for jabs. They're even doing it now. They're pushing the flu vaccines again everywhere I go. They're pushing people to come in for walk-ins for the COVID jab. People, are you waking up? Are your family and friends waking up? Are you aware how many people have died from the jabs and they're not telling you about it? This man that was listed here on this YouTube video, two Pfizer shots, and then ended up having his leg amputated. My neighbor, she ended up having four of the Pfizer, and it caused her to have four strokes, and she ended up dying a few weeks later. And I was the one that called the ambulance to take her to the hospital after we discovered she'd had at least two or three strokes during the night. So yes, folks, people are waking up, but we need to wake them up more. People are in denial. They don't want to believe their state government, their county government, their health department of their county, or their country would actually do this to them. But it's all part of the agenda. This is not conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact, F-A-C-T. They do want to depopulate the world's population. They believe there's too many of us for them to control, for them to handle, for them to manipulate. And they want to start with the baby boomers. They want to get rid of those of us over the age of 60 or 65 years of age, because we're the ones that start to collect our pensions. Those of us that work for big corporations, those of us that retired from federal jobs, those of us that are getting Social Security, they're the ones they want to get rid of first. Then they also want to use some of these jabs on our young people, because some of these will actually, like the Gardasil, that they're now not just pushing on young women, but on young men, and now on adults as well. Oh, you could get cancer, but if you take the Gardasil jab, you know, you're preventing yourself getting the HPV virus. Really? Are you going to tell me it was out there so badly that so many people were getting uterine cancer and young men were getting cancer of the penis? I don't think so. Look at the statistics, folks. It's all fear-mongering. But Gardasil will make you sterile. I happen to have a couple relatives that can't have children after they had the Gardasil while they were in their early to mid-teens. And they're pushing Gardasil. This is one of the things that Bill Gates has been pushing as part of his depopulation agenda. Now, again, when it comes to pushing back, folks, as 107 said, people need to understand that they need to pull their counties together. Start with the smaller counties. The smaller counties, like in Oregon, can actually help steer the direction of an honest election by telling Portland and Salem, we're not going to put up with this crap anymore. How do you do that, folks, in your own state? How do we do that in Oregon? It means you have to stay engaged with what's going on. I know you're tired. You're working one or two jobs. You barely can come home at night, put dinner on the table for the family or the kids. Sometimes you don't even want to go to parent-teacher conferences or to city council meetings or to your parent-teacher district meetings. Well, if you don't become engaged, you deserve what you get. Our votes were captured a long time ago. And being that our votes were captured a long time ago, we need to take back our votes and make our votes count and make them legitimate. We have to keep working at striking away at the criminal machine. How do we do that, folks, with the elections coming up, the primary coming up in May, April, May, June of next year? How do we do that with the election coming up in November of 2024? Stay engaged. Keep working at the criminal machine. Push and insist and demand your state have one day of voting only, like it used to be. With the polls closing at 8 p.m. your time. Have paper ballots. Now, this is what 107 and I discussed today. One day voting only. Paper ballots only. Counting those ballots at the post where they were submitted. Having people go into voting polls. Get off their fat derriere. Know that when they get off work at 5 or 6 o'clock or 7 in the evening, they can go vote. It takes less than 5 minutes. How lazy are you? 5 minutes to drive to your local school, your local church, wherever these sanctified and sanctioned and authorized voting polls are. Walk in, show your identification, get marked off, be given a ballot, go behind the little screen at the table, fill in your vote, and put it back in the box and walk out the door. Get in your car, and you'll be home. It only takes a few minutes. For those of you that work the evening shift, and you work from 2 to 10, you've got the morning to go vote. You can go vote. Many of you who end up getting off work at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, you still have till 8 o'clock at night to go vote. One day vote, paper ballots, voting polls, and have them being counted where they're posted. And no transferring of ballots. Don't put ballots in boxes of any kind and put them in the trunk of a car or in the back of a van and drive them to another location. This is absolute insanity. This is how the far left steals our elections. So again, one day vote, paper ballots, counting the ballots at the station where they're taken in, and no transferring of those ballots in boxes or any kind of containers. Now, from what I'm understanding right now, that the software is being looked at in Tennessee, that we're understanding if we don't fix the software, how are we going to really understand what the problem is? We know that at least 5 counties in Tennessee were told to share the concern with what was going on. And supposedly the FBI and the HS got involved in this. But did they actually do anything about it? Why did they not really address it? Well, folks, as he said, in countries like the United States of America, in countries like Argentina and Guatemala and the Philippines and Venezuela, we know that the CIA is hard at work in overthrowing our elections. It is the CIA. Folks, it's not just the IRS we need to get rid of and do a complete overhaul. It is not just the FBI that for the most part has become so corrupted from within, but our CIA. Our CIA is the one that is paid to go and assassinate people in other countries and other government leaders. If there is a country that our country or our deep state, and I won't even say our country, I'll say the deep state that's actually running things, that the CIA is sent into those countries to topple governments, even legitimate governments that are trying on their own to have their own form of a democracy, if you call it, or have their own form of independent republic. You know, again, I said this to someone the other day, democracy in its purest form is actually never going to work. And as Pac Woman said yesterday on the Concord Hour, her father came back from World War II and public. not the kind of republic that some people are talking about, because there is so much corruption that is going on from within and without. We need to flip things, people. And he was right when he said that the only way that we can do that is by the American people standing up and saying, no longer. We have two counties in Oregon that are completely blue, it seems. And as he said, in Oregon, the state of Oregon has become a magnet for the idiots. It was the only state that appeared to fully vote for Biden, because that's unfortunate that everything south of Eugene is ignored. The people in the rural areas, the people in the smaller cities and townships, they just play with us. They don't take us serious. We know darn well that what is happening right now is an awakening of the American people, but are we awakening fast enough? We need to call bullshit exactly what it is. We need to tell our so-called leaders that if they can't do their job and all they're doing is taking money from big corporations like Tina Kotek did when she ran for governor of Oregon, and Christine Drazen, the Rhino Republican, and Betsy Johnson with her foot in the Republican world and her foot in the Democrat world, and then saying, well, if I won't get the Democrat vote, I'm going to run it as an independent. These women, they know darn well they were taking money from big corporations inside and outside Oregon. They were taking money from overseas. Many people in the Salem legislature have been taking money from other countries and other places overseas, as well as from outside the state and from the big unions, which are very liberal, and tell them how they will vote. What is going on right now, folks, is we have a banana republic in this country. And as 107 said, we will be alerted very soon that there is something going on regarding the Brunson case, because our court, our Supreme Court of the United States, did not take proper action. We know there was over 100,000 letters that went out, but it wasn't enough. Not enough of you wrote letters and sent them to the Brunsons to make sure that the Supreme Court heard your voice. What's happening in this country, folks, is we have a country of cowards. We have a country of cowards that are allowing themselves to be pushed into submission. And as he said, if we're going to have, and he used this picture, which is very vivid for me, if we're going to allow a drunk person to be driving us, and you're in a car that only has two doors, the driver's door and your passenger door, and you're allowing somebody drunk to be driving you anywhere, and all of a sudden a train is crossing your path, folks, we're getting what we deserve. Do you believe that you and your children and grandchildren don't deserve better than what has been happening in the last 40, 50, 60 years? We need to leverage enough people to say no. We want to have an honest election with full transparency, not taking the covers of pizza packages and taping them to the windows so the Republicans who are pushed into the hallway have to look through the windows to try to see the counting taking place. And they certainly can't see through the cardboard boxes of the pizza boxes that were taped to the windows. We can't have people like my friend Samantha Frost, who's told she has a four-hour shift, and she comes in and 30 minutes into the shift, she has someone like Dan Loomis turning around and telling her she has to leave to go to lunch with two of his secretaries while he stays with a couple of his buddies in the office, locked up in the office with all of these exposed ballots. I don't think so. We need people to say, we're not going to have any more of these games being played by the so-called county clerks that are really trying to push the left-wing agenda or do favors for their county commissioners or their sheriff or anybody else in their state to play along to get along. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. You're listening to The Edge of Darkness Again, I'm the guest host filling in for Jeffrey Bennett. Jeffrey Bennett will be back tomorrow at the same time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern. And then I will be with you on Friday for the Concord Hour, again at 5 p.m. Pacific and at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Chris Brumbles will be joining us on Friday. We'll be talking about a bunch of issues, especially what's going on in the country right now, and probably talking a little bit about the Israeli war. Please keep the Israelis and the Palestinians in your prayers. Please keep both the Russians and the Ukrainians in your prayers. Please keep our people in both Hong Kong and Taiwan in your prayers. And know that we can make a difference, but people have to get off their couches, out from behind their TVs and computers, and they have to get in their car and go down and be more active in their county and local governments. God bless you all and have a good night.
Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.